Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to read just 13 and 14, and we're going to have allow the Holy Spirit to have his way this morning. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, God Wants Our Best. God wants our best. Before we get into this study, how many of you right now would probably confirm that when you got hired on your job, your employer expected you to do your best? Amen? Those of us that have beautiful children, our children expect for us parents to do our best to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to do our best. Those of us who have relationships with one another, we want to do our best to keep that relationship close and knit it together. Amen? Everything in life, I truly believe God has created us to do our best. Because when we do our best, that's when God can do something supernaturally in us on something that we could possibly think would be impossible today. For me, as I shared earlier, when I got saved, all I wanted to do from that point on was to serve the Lord, to serve Him with my whole heart, soul, and mind. And I didn't know when I first got saved the plans that He had for me, but we now know, I know, the plans that He had already before the foundation of the world had in store for me. And guess what? He has a beautiful plan for each and every one of you. And all He's asking is do your best in that all that you do. I have a wonderful friend that's here, and he has a wonderful company. And when he's done with my vehicle, I can see he's done his best. Because that car just glows. Because he puts his heart in it. Right, Brother Hugo? I wouldn't want anybody else to touch my car. He puts his heart in it. He puts his best. Our school teachers, they do their best. They put their heart in it to raise up our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And sometimes we miss the mark in life, but God said, hey, just pick yourself up and keep walking toward me. And so I'm here to just let you know in this brand new year that we would be reminded to do our best for God. I really believe that God is soon to come. How many believe that He's soon to return? Oh, yes, He is. He is soon to return. And we see the signs before us. And I'm here to let you know that despite of what we see, despite of the news, despite of what's going on in the world, God said, do not have fear, but have faith. Can I get amen? Amen. So here we are, Genesis chapter 22. Let's read the word of God. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Praise God. Praise God. This story takes place involving Abraham, the father of our faith. Can I get amen? Can I get amen that he was the father of our faith? Not just to the Jew, but to us Gentiles as well. Did you know that we were grafted in by faith? Us Gentiles, you got to remember, the scriptures and the time that when Jesus came, it was just for the Jews then. And then by God's grace, he had you and I in mind before the foundation of the world. And so now, by faith, we have been grafted in. We've been adopted now. Now we can cry out and say, Abba, Father, where before we couldn't. Thousands of years we couldn't, but today we can. And so let's look at this right up here. Let's look at the truth about God, because God will test people of faith. How many believe that your faith will be tested?
I believe.
Amen. We're going to be tested because we believe in God. Yes. And we're going to look at this story of Abraham this morning. And we're going to see that he was ultimately tested to sacrifice his only son. So just imagine, not knowing the scriptures, the Old Testament wasn't even written yet. It was being written as the story went on. But there was nothing to look back to, only his voice that he heard. Just imagine. The voices in the world, but one voice spoke to Abraham, and he believed God by faith. Man, it was the ultimate test. So let's look at this for a moment. Abraham's faith was tested. Abraham's faith was tested. Now, I need you to look at this up here. Genuine faith is demonstrated by obedience. Did you catch that? Now, it's not about do's and don'ts, because there's a lot of do's and don'ts in Christianity. You got to look a certain way. You got to, all these things that churches will put in place of the word. But true faith is basically obeying God and his word, what God says, not what man says. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Man has good intentions, but ultimately, are you believing God himself? And so Isaac was a gift from God. And without God, there was no Isaac. Can I get amen? Abraham and Sarah were well into their retirement years. They were close to 100 years old. And the promise was that they would have a son that would continue like the sands by a seashore and the stars in heaven. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting for the promise. Just imagine having a child close to 100 years old. That's unheard of today, isn't it? And so, but every day Abraham woke up to see his son Isaac farming the fields as a good day, because the promise did come. It was a visible reminder that God keeps his word. How many believe that God keeps his word? Can I get amen? This is why I said earlier, don't give up on God's promises. You see, the enemy wants you to think that God's not at work, but I'm here to let you know God's at work every second of the day. You may not think he's at work, but he's at work. Oh, that's right. The Bible says that God neither sleeps nor slumber. So you need to understand that he is at work in your life. My life. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so it had been a while since God had spoken, but whenever God speaks, usually it's good news. Praise God. Praise God. I'd rather hear good news than bad news. Amen? So, what would God promise today? What would he promise today? And so, Abraham, he turned his ears to God to listen to the voice of God. Now, I need you to look at this for a moment, this next verse of scripture that I'm going to put up, and ask yourself what predicament you would find your place in if you were to put on Abraham's shoes right now. Let's look at this. In Genesis 22:2, and he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. He waited for all these years. They're almost 100 years old, and he gave birth to Isaac, right? and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So what God was saying to Abraham, take your only son, the promised one, and take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him just like you would sacrifice a lamb. So just pause and think that for a moment. For me, I would say, because I only have one son, Anthony. He lives in Arkansas, and he's very prosperous over there by the grace of God. But if God were to have wakened me up and says, take your son when he was a child and take him up to be sacrificed, I would have thought that maybe I had backslid and I was smoking something. Yeah. Is that really you, God? But just imagine, he had no scripture references. He just heard a voice. And so the test was on. The true test was on. And I'm here to let you know that God's going to test us one day. Maybe not to that extent, but we're going to be tested where we're going to say, is that really you, God? But this time it's written in the Word for us. So we don't have to depend on a voice. We could depend on the Scripture, because the Scripture speaks God's voice. Can I get amen? Amen. And so the news was not good at this time. God has just called Abraham to sacrifice his only son, whom he waited for 25 years. Man, that's a hard pill to swallow right there. So, question is, how would he respond? How did Abraham respond to that? That's a good question, huh? Because if you're a new Christian and you're just reading it maybe for the first time and having gone into the story, I would go, oh my gosh, I don't want to read no more. But there is a beautiful story in this. It's a wonderful story. And so my question would be this, how would you respond? How would you respond? And so let's look how Abraham responded. It's right here in the Word. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So in essence, he did not hesitate. He did not say, man, I don't know if that's you, God. No way I'm going to do this, God. No, the Bible says he rose up early the next day. But just imagine what's going through his mind. He's flesh and blood like you and I. He's not a super saint. He's just someone that God chose, just like God has chosen you and I. No differently. Just imagine what was going on in his mind. Now, we can ponder all kinds of ways that he could have thought this situation at hand. But Abraham, the bottom line, obeyed God, because Abraham understood genuine faith is demonstrated by genuine obedience. He was just being obedient. And it wasn't blind faith. He understood that this was God. Listen, here's the thing. We have the written word, but they didn't have the written word, so God had to speak during that dispensation of time. And he never heard a voice like that ever before. So that's all he had, was the voice that spoke to him. We now have God's word that speaks to us. Can I get amen? Plus the Holy Spirit living inside that still voice, the power of God. And so when you and I, when we have faith in God, we will learn how to obey his commands. We don't learn them right away. I hope you know that. We have to walk a little while, don't we? Huh. Because I know some of us, I know I have done face plants where someone had to bring a spatula and scrape me off the ground. And then God restores you. He restored me. I did face plants many times in the 32 years of being a Christian. None of us are perfect. I hope you know that. God's not looking for perfection. Because there's only one that was perfect, and that was Jesus. He knows you and I are frail. Some of us are feeble-minded. Some of us are weak in our faith. Some of us are stronger in our faith. This is why God said, don't judge one another. Judge not, lest you be judged. God will judge us. But we cannot judge one another. Just because I have more faith maybe than you doesn't mean that you're a weaker vessel. No, it doesn't mean that at all. We're to encourage that one and lift that one up and bless that one. Can I get amen? Amen. Say, you can make it. You can make it. And so, let's look at this right up here. Abraham did not understand God's command, but he still trusted. That's the key word, trust, trust, trust. Trust. Write that down in your notes or in the mentalness, the mental part of your heart and in your mind, that if we trust God, God cannot fail us. Can I get amen? So Abraham did not understand God's plan at all, other than he obeyed God's voice. But he did trust God. It did not make sense to kill the promised one, his son, who should branch a family into thousands and thousands and thousands years later, even millions. But God did not call Abraham to understand him. God didn't call us to understand him. Because guess what? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We could never understand God's mind until we become like him. In this body of flesh, we're always going to ponder and wonder. But God is saying, don't try to figure him out. Just love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and trust him what he's doing in your life. Because he can't fail us. But God did not call Abraham once again to understand him. God called Abraham to trust him. And this passage is part of the nature of God that we rarely understand. Saints of God, how many of you can honestly say that there are times in our Christian life that we have struggled? We struggle to understand when our God allows us to walk through tragedy. When the God who could do something about it seems that he's done nothing about it. How many have been there and done that? Oh God, where are you? Where are you, God? Could God have stopped the accident? I'm saying this in a general sense. Could he have stopped the accident, kept the company afloat, healed the diseased, restored the family, or even paid the bank when our house was going into foreclosure? He could have done all that, couldn't he have? He could have done all that by sunset if he chose to do so. But my friends, I'm here to let you know that we're always going to be tested by him, just like Abraham was tested. And I believe those tests that come our way is to help us grow in our faith. Amen. Can I get amen? Yes. It's not to punish us. It's not to say, well, look, this is what you get, so I'm going to allow this. No. See, we think of those things. Well, you must have done something wrong. Oh, come on. I wonder, we become like Job's friends. I wonder what sin you committed. Oh, we don't go there, huh? Because nothing's happened to you, but, oh, poor you. We do that, don't we? Why? Because we're so frail. We're so frail. We're so weak. And a lot of us are very covetous. See, my friends, he could have waved his hand at every hospital and have them all go home. And he could shut down the funeral homes if he chose to do so. But that's not his plan. You see, you have to understand, before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we were created to live for eternity with him. But because the fall of Adam and Eve, we are the recipients of that fall. And so that's why Jesus had to come. He had to come to save us from our sin. Can I get amen? And so saints of God, it's not about the trials that we go through, the marks that we miss. It's about that my faith and trust in Jesus is going to see me into eternity. Because this body of flesh is not built to live forever. There's some prominent people in our world today that are no longer with us. For those of you that have PlayStation, that remember all the Madden games, he's gone. John Madden's gone. And I hope someone witnessed to him and told him about the love of Jesus. We don't know that, and we won't even go there, other than he's not here today with us. Because we're not made to live forever in these bodies. God's plan is to give us a brand new body, to live with him forever. Can I get an amen? For those of you that do not wake up in the morning with aches and pains, God bless you. But when you get 60 and 70, remember what I just said. Well, listen, when I got saved, I was still on top of the hill. Yeah, man. You know, bench pressing 220, you know, thinking that I was all that. That's just a blink now of my life that has gone by. Hallelujah. So because he does not always, you ever prayed or heard this cliche? He may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time. There's some things that God's going to just allow to go through in our life so that we could truly rely upon him. Because if he gave us everything, every time we cried, we would be spoiled little brats. This is why God is looking for obedience. He's looking for us to trust him. Can I get an amen? How many believe God is good? God is good. You know, King David understood this. King David, he had enemies chasing him galore. Listen, we don't have to wake up in the morning knowing that someone's ready to throw a spear at us. Just imagine if you walk out of your door, woof, one came. Oh my gosh. Oh, don't worry, that was just your neighbor next door. You gave him a dirty look. No, but there is a true enemy. Satan is a true enemy. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Saints of God, I'm here to encourage you this morning that if God be for you, who could be against you? Can I get amen? Greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. This is the year now that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. This could be the last year that we can enjoy each other until we get caught up to be with him. And then this will be a thing of the past. Thank you, Lord. Listen, it's coming to a close. This dispensation is about to close now. We see the signs. We see the wars, the rumors of wars. We see the footsteps of the Messiah around the corner. Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, there would be plagues, there would be pestilences. We're seeing this pestilence that won't go away. It won't go away, huh? You know what? I think as well that someone could just have a flu bug and they say, oh, it's COVID. They want to inflict fear. We need to walk in faith. Just do the practical. God will watch over us. Can I get an amen? He will. But King David, as I was alluding to, look at this. Be merciful to me in Psalms 56. O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies, look at this, my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. And whenever I'm afraid, look at King David, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Ask yourself, what can flesh do to you? But in God, we can trust. Can I get amen? Amen. And so let's look at this for a moment. Isaac was obedient to Abraham as well. Isaac was a lad of about 12 years old. And so when they rose up in the morning, he said, son, come with me. We're going up to do a sacrifice. And just imagine when Isaac looked around, well, where's the sacrifice? He says, son, you are the sacrifice. Man, my son would have sprinted down the hill. What? What's wrong with you, Dad? I'm gone. But we find that contrary to that. Look at this. It was one thing for Abraham to trust God, but what about Isaac? Let's go to the word. They came up to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he would bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon what? The wood. Look at this. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. For those of you that have never read this story, it's a true story. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I need you to catch that for a moment. What is God asking us this morning to be obedient unto him? We all struggle in areas of our life that I don't care to know your area. And you don't need to know my area, but we have areas in life that we struggle in. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And God is saying this morning, what area in your life can you give to the Lord to be obedient? What's that pet peeve? What's that stumbling block? What is that one thing that, man, God, I've tried over and over, and I keep falling back into that puddle? Only God knows what it is, and only you know what it is. This morning, God is saying, if we can learn to be obedient like Abraham and Isaac, what more us who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us? These people didn't have the Holy Ghost living in them. Let's continue with the story, verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Remember, they went up there, and there was no sacrifice up there. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall what? Be provided. Now look at this. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. I'm here to challenge us, including me. Whatever that area is that God is saying, be obedient to me with. You can take it to the bank because they did not withheld their obedience unto God. So whatever it is, give it to God. Say, God, I'm struggling in this, but I'm going to give it to you. And you walk in faith and believe God and watch God replace it with something beautiful in your life. Can I get an amen? Because God wants to see us grow and prosper. And if there's something that's hindering us, something that's always heavy on us, something that we're dragging around like a dead carcass on our back, God said, I'll move all that. Just give that whatever it is to me. There's a lot of things as Christians we struggle in. And I can list a whole bunch, and I won't. But just know, as a believer, you know what offends God in your life and what dishonors him. Give it to him this morning. Give it to him. You see, let's look right up here. Can we trust God when our faith is tested? Saints, if we took great faith for Abraham to offer up Isaac, think of how much faith it took for Isaac, as we just addressed. This was Abraham and Isaac's greatest test of faith. And they passed the test, praise God. And God wants us to pass the test, whatever we're dealing with. Can I get an amen? We do not like to have our faith tested. I hope you know that. It's like, man, leave me alone. What did I do? We go there sometimes, don't we? No one prays for sickness. I hope you know that. None of us pray for sickness. No one prays for a car accident. No one prays for layoffs or even a divorce. No one prays for their children to rebel and move out. No one prays for that. In those times, we have very little control over the outcome, though. But we do know if we will be healed, recover, find a new job, or reconcile with our family, we know that God is able to do those things in his time. Can I get amen? In his time. It's got to be his time, not our time. We want it now. We all want a Burger King life, having it our way, right now. But there's some things that God has allowed us to stew in our life. Because sometimes we're not ready for that blessing. We still have murmurs and complaining and wah, wah, wah. See, once God gets that out of us, then God can now work. Now God can say, okay, now they're ready to learn this test. Praise God. You see, saints of God, we don't know how the story will end, but God does in whatever situation we find ourselves in. He knows. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Be careful when someone says, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, and gives you a false promise. Man, be careful. Can I get an amen? There's a lot of false prophets out there. They just want to make themselves look. Yeah, I gave them that word. Be careful with that. Trust God. I'd rather trust God. Can I get an amen? Trust God. Why? Because King Solomon, who left us this scripture verse that I'm going to show right now, we can take that and embrace it, knowing that with God all things are possible. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You know, some of us read that scripture as cliche. Some of us have it written down in our Bibles. Some of you may have it pinned up on your refrigerator door. But can you truly apply it? Can you make it your own and trust him? Saints, Abraham did not have the benefit of the Bible, as I alluded to this morning. But his story was being written at the time. He believed he was marching up that mountain to offer up his son to God. But he equally believed he was marching down that mountain with his son with him. Oh, come on. Why? Why would he think that he was going to march down with his son? Because before he told him to sacrifice his son, he said that you will have the promised son that will bless the world. So he understood that if God promised me that, then somehow, some way, he was going to make a way that seemed like there was no way. Can I get an amen? This is where we have to come to a place in our life. We have to come to that place where, okay, God, it doesn't look like it makes any sense to me right now. Why was I left in this position? Why has these things happened to me? You need to ask yourself, why not you? They didn't ask for this test, but God had to test them. You know why God had to test them? Because when they passed it, I need you to catch this now. Because they passed that test, you and I are here today. Can I get an amen? Look at the results of that passing the test. The lineage had to come through the line of Abraham all the way down to Jesus. And then Jesus sacrificed his life for you and I. It all was God's plan. It was his test. So what is God testing you that's just too hard yet you can't give it up? What is it? I want to encourage you this morning that there's nothing too hard for God. I don't care if you've been going ring around the rosies with that certain sin in our life. God will deliver, but you got to surrender it to him. Can I get an amen? A lot of it, we think, oh, I wonder what sexual sin that person's in, or this, or alcohol, or drug. You know what a lot of it is? Our mouth. We backbite. We gossip. We talk about somebody else. God is saying, you know what? Hush all that. Hush all that. Pray for them. Lift them up. So what if they've done you wrong? Let God deal with them. We can't do anything about it. Can I get an amen? Worry about what God has done for you and what he wants to do in your life, because he wants to bless your life. I hope you know that. God is the God of blessing. Listen, he made this world so perfect for us to live in it. There's enough air and water and food and shelter for us. Can we complain? No. He did it for us. It's not a perfect world, but in his eyes, he perfected it so that we can exist on this planet until we see him again. Although God had not raised anyone from the dead at that point, Abraham trusted that God would. And the writer of the book of Hebrews wrote it. I believe it's Paul. It's not clear. Some theologians say it could have been another writer, but I think it was Paul. But look at this word. In Hebrews 11:19, God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That's in your Bible. So in essence, in Abraham's mind, in Isaac, okay. Abraham was saying, I'm coming down with my son, but okay, Lord, I'm going to thrust him with my knife. And that's when the angel caught him. Praise God. He came right on time. This is why God is saying, don't give up on what God has promised you. See, we want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. It don't look good. This situation stinks by now. God is saying, no, wait. at the point of killing his son, the angel stopped him. God is saying, that test that we're in right now, don't throw in the towel yet. Give your best to him this year. Keep doing what God's called us to do. Because God will do this. Look at this. God intervened and provided a sacrifice himself. He did. You see, God does not require us to do anything that would destroy his promise. Because he has promised us many things. Can I get amen? How many believe that God has promised you eternity? That's one thing that we could take to the bank, huh? As children of the Most High God, we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to live forever with him. Okay, I got one that's clapping. Come on, God's going to give us eternity, amen? My goodness, that is worth it all right there. Whatever we go through in this life, it's all been worth it. And when we read this verse of scripture, I'm going to read it again. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So we may not understand why God asks a certain thing of us, of you and I. But can we trust him anyway? Can we trust him? You know, as I shared with you, there's two men of valor that we can lean and glean in the past. And that was obviously the story of Abraham. But we spoke of King David. Did you know King David was not innocent in any ways? In all his life, he struggled with sins like us. He struggled with relationships like us. He struggled with addictions and all kinds of things. He committed adultery. He coveted another man's wife looking from the balcony when he should have been at war. And then, because he had so many wives and concubines already, he wanted one more. I remember back in the day, I needed to toke that thing one more time and drink that thing one more time. I needed to do something one more time. And that was him. He wanted to have another one more time. And he did the most insidious thing. He had the husband, and he only had one wife, and that was Bathsheba. But he sent his general. That was his general's wife. And he sent him to the forefront of the war, knowing that he would die immediately. And God had to deal with David harshly. But what I love about King David, nowhere do you find in Scripture where he ran from God. He ran from his enemies that wanted to kill him. But everywhere he went, he would always fall on his face and cry out for God's mercy. And that's us. We're recipients of God's mercy. No matter what we find ourselves involved in, no matter how low we can fall, we can always look up and cry for mercy. And God will hear his children's cry, especially the sinner that repents, that wants to be saved. King David knew how to get to that place with God. Let's look at this for a moment, and then we'll close. Have mercy on me, O Lord, in Psalms 31, for I am in trouble. My eye wasted away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with what sighing. My strength fails me because of my iniquity. Did you know that when you're in sin, it seems like your body becomes weak. Look at this. My strength fails me because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Wow. Look at verse 11. I am a reproach among all my enemies. Meaning, God put him out there in shame in front of his enemies because of his iniquity. So he is now confessing his sin. If there was a great confessor, that was King David. He knew how to confess his sins, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. This is how low he got. For I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. He knew that his life was in danger. Wow. Look at this in verse 14. But as for me, say that with me, saints of God. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. Look, after he confessed all these shortcomings, he said, but I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. How many believe that God is the God of all mercy? Huh? God is the God of all mercy. My goodness. Saints, God revealed himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh. And God has revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ as our all in all. He's everything to us now. He's not just our provider. He's our healer. He's the lover of our soul. He has adopted us. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. And how many believe he's coming again? How many believe he's coming again? Oh, yes. He's coming again. And so my question is this. The Lord provided for Abraham and will provide for us too. Can I get an amen? You got to believe that. You got to believe that when everything seems like it's falling apart in your life, know that God is at work. Know that God's at work. He hasn't abandoned us. Our brother that came in today to worship for Brother Josh knows Brother Tony for many years. So my brother's been around a while. And he could probably testify how good God's been to him. Can I get an amen? You know, those who have walked a little further than a lot of us have some wonderful stories of battles. Battles that they had to battle through in life. Can I get an amen? And so, I truly believe Jesus is coming again. Now, today was a beautiful day. I didn't see a cloud in the sky. But for the past 2 weeks, we've been seeing clouds, right? Well, how many believe that Jesus is coming in the clouds?
I believe.
Huh?
Amen.
I know I showed this. For those of you who log on Wednesday, I showed this little video. But I felt led to show it one more time. And so, can we all trust God when he asks us for our all, knowing that it will draw us closer to him? Can that be left within us? So, as I close, before I ask them to come up and play, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. I shared this morning with the prayer team that gathered this morning, that God's coming back for us. That should be great hope. great hope that he's coming back for us. And he's going to leave us here. But he's going to take us with him. And we're going to be with him. So look what it says. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have already died in Christ. And this past 4 years, I have preached at many funerals. One that comes to mind was a dear friend, right, Brother Lafayette? Brother Leroy Brown. He was a giant man in National City. And I had the privilege and the honor to pray and to eulogize his service. And we miss him today. But we know we're going to see him again. You see, he's just one that had fallen asleep. That's what the Bible means. Fallen asleep, meaning their body has went to the ground. That's it. But the soul and spirit is with God. Look at this. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Meaning, when Jesus appears in the clouds, they're going to be snatched up from the grave first. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, that's you and I, until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, we're not going ahead of them. They're going to be busted out of their graves first. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. This is a giant shofar, much bigger than this one. No, this is not a smoking pipe. It's a ram's horn. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we, turn to your neighbor and say, then we. Then we. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, it don't say that, does it? It says comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Listen. It's going to be with a shofar blast from heaven. Now I'll give you a little sample here, but it's going to be louder than this. Louder than that. And so I need you to understand, the next greatest event that's going to take place here on earth, the next greatest event that the world has yet to see, is us being raptured away. And Paul further described it in Corinthians, that this body of flesh, it's going to go away. You see, how many of you can, from the ground in the air, how many of you can at least leap maybe 6 feet? For me, maybe 4 inches. So we all know that we cannot go in these bodies of flesh, right? Because gravity is what, the law of gravity keeps us here on this earth. So let's look at this. Now this I say, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we cannot go in these bodies. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It was a mystery until now. Now God has revealed these things to us. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all be put in a casket and buried. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I did a Hebraic study on twinkling of an eye. It's faster than the speed of light. Speed of light travels 186,000 miles per second. It's faster than that. But we shall, well, look at this. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, because in the Hebrew, it's a shofar. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. So in other words, the new body, it's not going to be corrupted. See, we live in a corruptible body. It's corrupted. Praise God that man came up with showers. Because on the third day, if you haven't taken a shower, don't sit by nobody. Because we live in these corruptible bodies. They need to be what? Cleaned and washed and fed and nurtured and you know, all these things. We will be raised incorruptible, meaning we'll have a brand new body that's not governed by blood and flesh. And we shall be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, meaning a body that has no sin. And this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, right now, we live in mortal bodies, meaning however many years God gives us on the earth, we have to go back to the ground. But God's going to give us a body that's going to live immortal, immortality. In other words, forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, for those of you who have not seen this, it's only a few seconds long. But when Jesus comes, it's going to be so quick, we won't even have time to blink. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
Wow. That little video clip is powerful in a sense that it's going to be that fast. And have you noticed there's so many sci-fi movies of aliens and now alien sightings and all this, right? So when Jesus comes for his church, guess what the excuse is going to be? The aliens came and got him. No, Jesus is coming for his church. We're the bride of Christ. And he has shed his blood for the church, the born-again church that truly loves him, that knows him. We know him and he knows us. And so think about this. Throughout the world, in all the denominations that are out there, there's Pentecostals, there's apostolics, there's United Methodist, there's Methodist, there's Presbyterian, okay? There's a church within a church, meaning not everyone is saved. But there's a body of believers in churches where God has truly saved them. And they know that they are his, and he knows that they are his. And how do we know that? Because they've been born again. They've repented of their sins. They have been baptized in water as a confession of faith. not as a child, but as an adult, confessing that I'm a believer, I'm walking with God. And that's another act of obedience. If you've never been baptized as an adult, say, God, I'm a willing vessel. I'm going to do whatever it takes in 2022 now to be obedient to you, God. It's not of works. Don't think that it's of works. It's an act of obedience. It's your love affair with him, saying, God, if you did it, remember Jesus was the first one to be baptized in the River Jordan, and then he went out to the wilderness. He was the first prototype to be baptized as an adult, came out of the water. The Bible says a dove fell on him and the heavens opened up. And his father said, that is my son in whom I am very well pleased in. Jesus showed us the way. And so from that moment on, the apostles understood that. And so here's one of the keys. Let's look at this verse of scripture and then I close. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, in the upper room, 120 apostles, disciples, and even the women. Guess who was even up in that same room? Jesus' mother, Mary, was there. All of them were there, waiting for the promise. And on the day of Pentecost, the fourth feast, remember we've been learning about the feast? The feast of Passover when Jesus was crucified? The Feast of Unleavened Bread the next day when Jesus was buried in the tomb. And then the third day he rose again on the Feast of First Fruits. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out on that fourth feast, the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter, who ran and denied Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit and came down boldly because they were all filled with the Holy Ghost in there. And a lot of them were speaking in other languages that no one could understand. And some people down below during that feast thought that these people in that upper room were drunk with wine. Yeah, they were drunk, all right. They were drunk with the new wine. The new wine is the Holy Spirit. It was flowing in them. And Peter came down and he brought a word of conviction. And so after he was preaching to them, they all said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. That means turn from your wicked ways, turn from the world, and turn to Christ now. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? He says, you shall. It doesn't say, well, wait for my text. I'll email you. No, he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God's best intentions is for us? It's for us. Can I get an amen? It's for us. It's for you and I. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, whatever they want to play. Brother Andre, whatever you guys want to play. Don't worry, I won't blow this again. I want to wait for the Lord to do it. You know, maybe you're here listening for the first time on YouTube and Facebook. And we're going to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord. Because it is my duty as a pastor to always give an invitation whenever the doors are open. Can I get amen? For us that are saved, I'm going to ask them to pray with me for you. And maybe, just maybe, you're here and never received Jesus as your Savior. This is a brand new year. This is a time to now embrace the cross in your life. This is the time to give Jesus your best now. Give him your best. Give him your best. Yes, with all our failures and faults, give him your best. All that he's looking for is a life of obedience to him, to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. Did you know that that's all the commandments? There's 614 commandments that none of us could keep, let alone one. We can't even keep one. But there's 614. And you know how you can tell how many laws there were in the Old Testament? Bust open a pomegranate. Count the seeds. 614 seeds in a pomegranate. That's why the high priest put pomegranates on the bottom of their robes. Because they understood the commandments of God. See, they tried to keep the law and couldn't. So, Jesus said, this is the better way. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments, which encompass all 614. By loving God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You know why he said that? Because he knew that we can't keep none of the law. But if we learn to love God, his grace and his mercy is always there to wash us and to cleanse us. Isn't that something? God always makes a way of escape for his children. He doesn't keep us under bondage. He's not a slave master. He's a deliverer. And he came to save us from our own self. Praise God. So learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind this year. Learn to love your neighbor. That's right. The one that you can't even look straight in the face. Learn to love that person. Do it like Jesus. Can I get an amen? And watch God take you further with him. And then you're going to look back one day, man, why was I hating on that person when I should have been loving that person? Can I get an amen? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. God didn't make it complicated. He made it so that you and I can walk in faith, that we can learn to love him and learn to honor him. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray this prayer, this sinner's prayer. For those of you that are watching and maybe those of you that are here, pray this prayer by faith and allow God to do the supernatural in your life. Amen. Bow your heart and your head with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Is he worthy? Listen, I am.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.